Bibles with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. I hope you had a good afternoon. I did. After a wonderful lunch at Pastor's home, I went back to my room and I took a nap. That's what Baptists do on Sunday afternoons. How many of you got your nap this afternoon? All right, you have no excuse to take one now. If you did, it wouldn't be worth it anyway. It's not very long, so I actually had a guy tell me that one service. He said, "You know, my only problem with your message is it wasn't long enough for me to get my normal Sunday morning nap." Well, maybe we ought to be listening to the preaching. Anyway, hope you will not take a nap. Hope you'll open your heart to God's truth as we dig into God's Word, 2 Peter chapter 1, as we look this week at knowing Christ and growing in Christ. That's kind of the theme of what we're looking at this week. 2 Peter 3:18 sums it up best, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What a wonderful truth. If you haven't memorized that verse, I'd encourage you to commit it to memory. That is really the whole gist of this book, to grow in Christ, to know Christ, grow in Christ. And I really hope your hearts will be stirred. We're going to look tonight at verse number 2. Now, we saw this morning that our common bond is Christ. Our common bond is Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to see this. Continual blessings are found in knowing Christ. Look at verse number 2. He says this: "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Now, look this way, please. So when I used to read my Bible, I'd read through this kind of grace and peace. You kind of see that throughout a lot of the epistles, and just you think it's a greeting, right? Like, you know, hey, how you doing? Yeah, everybody has different. Down where I grew up, it's, you know, hey, how y'all doing? And if you're in a hurry, you don't say, hey, how y'all doing? You say, hey, and that's it. And I don't know, maybe say, hey, what's up? How's it going? That's kind of how I looked at this. It was just a greeting, kind of a formal grace and peace multiplied unto you. He was getting through a formality so that he could get to the main thing. That's the farthest thing from the truth. We're going to see tonight some of the blessings that are to be ours continually in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's two things specifically mentioned. Number one, look at the first word. He says, grace. You know, I really wonder if we as believers genuinely understand what grace is. Do we really know what grace is? Now, I don't mean to be offensive, but I think we've sometimes cheapened it by poor definitions. We've used it, you've heard the acronym GRACE, God's Riches at Christ's Expense. That's not necessarily bad, but it's extremely shallow. Okay, how about this? God's grace, it's God giving to us what we do not deserve. Okay, that would also be an okay definition of it, but God's grace is so much more than that. Let me illustrate for you. Ephesians 2:8. I will stop. You say the next word. For by grace are ye saved. Stop. Is that God's riches at Christ's expense? Is that all it is? Is that God simply giving to us something we didn't deserve? Like, pardon me, like handing out money to a homeless man? Is that what grace is? Are you kidding? God's grace is so much more. So much deeper, so much, it's so much more than that. What is grace? Yes, it is God's undeserved favor, but it is this. It is God's divine enabling power that works in us. It works through us, and it even works for us what we are not capable of in ourselves. Let me ask you this. Can you save yourself? No. For by grace, God's divine power working in you, through you and for you, what you are not capable of. You are not capable of you forgiving yourself of sins. You are not capable of taking your relationship with God as a sinner, separated from God, and as Colossians 1 said, alienated and enemies of God by your wicked thoughts and deeds. Can you, by yourself, in your strength, change that from being God's enemy to being adopted into God's family, to being born again, to being His child? Absolutely not. See, believer, listen, don't miss this. This grace that we're saved by is how the believer's life is designed to be lived by. We have lost this. We have come many times, we believe, yeah, we know we're saved by grace, but then it's like the whole rest of my Christian life depends on me. It's all my own efforts. Now, I want to say a couple things. I want to be careful because there are some extremes here that are unbiblical, both ends. One is, and we'll deal with this at a later point, in maybe a little more detail, but it's the let go and let God. It's the passive Christianity. Oh, I'll just be whatever God wants me to be. And I'll just kind of, I had a lady in my, a mother of some teens in my youth group walk up to me one time, and she had bought into some of this. And she said to me, she said, oh, Pastor Brent, I just memorized the Bible verses that God wants me to memorize. Doesn't that sound spiritual? I looked at her straight in the face. I said, you can quote the whole Bible? She said, well, no. I said, well, you're saying that there are parts of His Word that He doesn't want you to know? Is that what you're saying? Well, no. I said, whoa, stop. What you're doing is you are blaming, you're saying to God, well, if God wants me to memorize a verse, then He'll memorize it for me. No. The Christian life is not passive, nor is it self-dependent. I am going to make myself more like Christ. I am going to have victory over sin. I am going to do all this on my own. No, it is God's divine enabling power that works in you, through you, for you, what you're not capable on your own. And we need grace. It starts by faith in Christ. That's saving grace. But then our life continues by grace. Titus 2:11 and 12. Listen to this very carefully. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That is not a reference to, that's a reference to the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, but John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And he says, that grace has appeared. It's like, it's a word that was used of light bursting into darkness. It was used of divine aid. So the picture is this, humanity is lost in their darkness of their sin. And Jesus Christ breaks through the darkness, bursting in and revealing through the light of Jesus Christ, salvation and hope through the gospel. It's the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared, been made available to all men. Look, that doesn't mean that everyone will be saved, but it means that any person can be saved. And he said, this grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Guess what the next verse is? Verse 12, teaching us. Word teach means to instruct, like a child, to train, to discipline. And it says, teaching us that denying ungodly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Here's that balance. It's God's grace that enables us to deny. And you must actively obey. You have a responsibility to obey. That's just as that saying that God's going to make, you know, whatever Bible verses God wants to memorize, I'll memorize. That's just as silly as saying, as I'm sitting on TV, well, whatever comes on TV is must be what God wants me to watch. Nope, God gave you fingers and a channel changer and a brain to say, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate to work in the turn aside, it shall not cleave to me. Psalm 101:3. Obey. It says, God, grace instructs you. You have a part of denying, saying no to ungodliness, living as if God doesn't exist or as if He has no authority, worldly lusts, sinful desires. And we should live, and we are to live. God's grace instructs us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is God's grace that enables us to live today for Jesus Christ. And he says, grace is one of the things that is to be in our lives. Look at the second one. He says, grace, and in conjunction with grace, he says, peace, grace and peace. Some of you say, oh, for a moment's peace. Those of you with young children, oh, peace, quiet. Peace is not the absence of conflict or the absence of problems. Some of you think, you know what? If I had enough money, I'd finally have peace. If I could get my spouse or I could get my children to behave and to do what they need to do, then I would finally have peace. If the people at work wouldn't just be so whatever, then I would have peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict. The word peace here is a word which means it's the idea of an untroubled well-being that is not dictated or determined by my circumstances, but in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How can you have peace? I want you to follow this. The Bible makes it very plain. The reason we can have peace from God is only possible if we have peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have peace with God. I want to ask you a question tonight, sir, ma'am. I ask you a question. Do you have peace with God? It's amazing what people are looking for to find peace. They're finding peace in a bottle. Really? You're going to find it in a vodka bottle. You're going to find it in a beer bottle. At the bottom of an empty glass, really, you're going to find peace there. Why does it always leave you empty? They're looking for peace by what they inject, by what they snort. They're looking for peace in the amount of money they have. They're looking for peace in the homes that they have. They're looking for peace in their investments to where they will finally have enough where they will never have to worry about their finances. They're looking for peace in their relationship, going through marriage after marriage and relationship after relationship. They're gratifying every desire of their body, and they're saying, what? I am looking for peace. Let me tell you something. You will never have genuine peace until you, first of all, have peace with God. Period. And for us as believers, those of us who have this, we share this common bond in Jesus Christ. He says, hey, grace and peace, untroubled well-being. Then if this peace from God is only possible because we have peace with God. And that's why Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, for he, Jesus Christ, is our peace. Jesus said in John 16:33, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is the giver of peace. Despite the circumstances, despite troubling trials, you can have peace. And here's what he says. He says, grace and peace be, look at that next word, multiplied. Amazing word. The word multiplied here is the idea of to be in abundance, to be everywhere, to be abounding. Now, look this way, please. So, I hate to do this to you, but this is just who I am, okay? So, bear with me, would you please? I'm a hunter, and I just can't help myself. That's just who I am. Not every time you go hunting do you have a good morning. Matter of fact, there's many times you don't even see a deer or whatever you're going after. A few years ago, I was hunting in Connersville, Indiana, a place where I've had the privilege of going for quite a number of years, and I had one of those unusual mornings. I mean, I'm climbing up. I like to be in my stand an hour before sunrise. So I'm climbing up into my stand, and while I'm climbing in my stand, no kidding, there's a deer running across the cornfield. And I'm like, what's going on? I climb up in my stand, I get my safety harness put on, I get my bow on, get my arrow on the string, and I get set up, and there are deer everywhere. I mean, there's deer under my stand. There are deer over here running around. I can hear deer. I can't see them. I can hear them running around in the woods. They're popping out into the field, and there's just everywhere I look, there's a deer. And I mean, it was just abnormal. This is crazy. What's going on with all these deer? And it was such a fun morning everywhere I looked. I probably about 45, 50 minutes right before sunrise, I look out in the field and these four beautiful doe pop out of the woods about 90 yards in front of me in the woods. And it was a cold, clear morning. And the sun's beginning to peek over the trees just a little bit. And out behind him comes this beautiful 10-point buck. Oh, my heart. Ba-doom, 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 ba-doom. And so one of the does breaks off and she's coming right to me. We called it the gate stand because there's a tree line, field, woods, woods. And that deer was going to come right through the entrance of the gate where the tractors would drive through 11 yards. Oh my goodness. And the buck starts to follow her. And then the other three doe take off and guess where he goes? He follows the three deer. So I'm like, oh man, kind of disappointing, whatever. But I'm looking at no deer here, deer there. I went for about 5 minutes. There was no deer. I stood up, stretched my legs for a second. I sat back down. When I sat down, I just happened to look down, and there's that doe standing at 15 yards, and she's got both her ears pointed to the left, which generally means there's something coming. So I got my bow, and I look, and I hear a buck. They grunt, making this grunt noise. He's grunting. He's 20 yards from me, walks in 11 yards. He's in my wall, and he was very delicious, let me tell you. You say, why would you do that? Well, let me explain why I use that illustration. Because when I think of grace and peace and abundance, this is what comes to my mind. Honestly, this is how my simple mind works. Everywhere you look in life, what does God want you to know? And I say the word experience in the right way. What does God want you to be knowing and experiencing? In every area of your life, what does he want you to see at work in your life? Grace and peace. You should not be going through long periods. The Christian life is not designed for us to be going through a period of times where we don't see God's grace and God's peace actively working in us and working in our lives. You need to have grace at home and at work and at your church and in your finances and every other area of your life. You need peace. Peace ought to be permeating, infiltrating, dominating, saturating your life. Do you have peace at home? Do you have peace in your own heart? Are you filled with anxiety and fear or guilt or whatever? Look, the Christian life, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. It's to be abounding in your life. And there are so many believers today who are living discouraged, dreary, burdened lives because their lives are not experiencing and knowing the reality of the grace and peace of God. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. By the way, do you know who the you is? Those who have obtained like precious faith. Those of us who are believers. Now, I want you to see this. Here's how it comes. You say, okay, God's grace and God's peace. I mean, hey, if that's what he wants for every believer, then every believer should automatically have it in their life, right? Look what the text says. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Look at the next word, through or by. This is the avenue of the grace and peace, through the knowledge. The word knowledge, look this way, please. The word knowledge here is one of the key words of 2 Peter. It's used in its Greek form in part or full at least 13 times. Some would argue for one or two more times in this very short little book. It's a key word in the book. And he says it's the word is knowledge. The word knowledge here is the idea of a thorough, intimate, personal knowledge that is based upon biblical, real, objective, rational truth of the Word of God. That is knowledge. And it's a knowledge that is growing. My wife and I just celebrated our 22nd anniversary on Friday. Now, for those of you who are younger married, or may hope to be married at some time, don't be discouraged by people. I used to irritate me. People come up to me, oh, you think you love her, but you don't. Yeah, I do. I love her. Yeah, I really do love her. Now, I think I know what they were trying to say, but you know what? When we got married, when I married her 22 years ago, did I love her, yes or no? Yes, I did. Did I know her? Yes. Do I know her the same way after 22 years of marriage as I did the day I married her? No. And do you want to know why? Because you ladies are always changing the game. There's some unwritten rule that they have the right. Once you start figuring them out, they have the right to change the rules at any given time without prior notification to the male. Okay. Yeah, you know what? I love my wife, but you know what? My love for my wife has grown. My knowledge, and to use the word knowledge, me knowing my wife, I know her in a more personal and real, authentic way than I did when we were married. You know why? Because we've gone through life together. We've gone through children. We've gone through trials where we thought my wife had cancer. We've gone through horrific, we've gone through big financial problems. We've gone through personal sickness and ailments. Even in our engagement where I almost died from severe reactive hypoglycemia. I could go on and on. You know what? As we've gone through life together, guess what? My understanding of my wife has grown. Look at me. Here is the beauty of this truth right here, and please don't miss this. For you as a believer to sit there and say, well, I need more grace, I need more peace, how do I get it? Here's the key. Grace and peace is only found in knowing Christ. Now watch this. Look at me. As your knowledge of Christ grows, his grace and peace grows. You need greater grace. You need greater peace at home, in your marriage, at work, whatever it is. You need to know Christ. It's through the knowledge of Christ. And he has given us two main means of us knowing him, going through life, understanding, connecting our relationship with God, with life. And that is this. Number one, he's given us his word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word. That's Jesus Christ. Look at me. Get this. The written Word of God is how we know the living Word of God. Can I tell you something? If you don't have a copy of God's Word, see Pastor, we'll get you one. You can know Him through this book. And it's only through spending time in His Word where He has revealed Himself to us. Everything God wants us to know about who He is, He's laid out for us in His Word. You can know Him. If you need to know Him, you need to be connecting God's Word to your life and be learning, knowing Christ through His Word. Number two, it's through prayer. Hebrews 4:6-10. By Him, therefore, that's speaking of Jesus, who is our high priest. The previous verse, He's not a high priest that's not been touched with the feelings of our infirmities or weaknesses, But as in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, Christ knows. He's gone through trials and difficulties. He was tempted to sin. He never sinned. And he says, by him, therefore, through Jesus Christ, his righteousness given to us, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? Why do we come to the throne of grace? To obtain, to receive from him, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know of a plainer way to put it. There is one source of grace in this entire universe, and it's the person of God, and there's one way to get it. Go to the throne of grace to receive what he has for you. Proud people don't pray, period. You don't pray about things. So let me tell you this, James 4:6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the... You need grace, you need to go to the throne. That's where you get it. You go ask. You go seek. You know your Lord. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied, abounding in your life. How does it come? Through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. By the way, same Greek grammatical construction at the end when it says of God and of Jesus our Lord, speaking of the fact that Jesus Christ and God are the same. Jesus Christ is God, the deity of Christ. Our message is done for this evening. And we're going to do, this may be a little bit out of norm for you, and that's okay. So don't panic on me, people. Our invitation is going to be a little bit different, all right? Again, the invitation is a time that we are setting aside to do two things, to reflect on God's word, to meditate on the truth that we've received, and then to respond to it, to obey. So here's what we're going to do. We're not going to stand. We're not going to sing. We're not even going to have music. Okay, nobody threw a hymn book. That's good. All right. Let me explain what we're going to do. We're just going to take a couple minutes quiet for the Lord. Now, I'm going to explain why we're doing it this way. There's nothing wrong with music songs. It's wonderful. But for me, sometimes I'm so familiar with all the songs that when the song's being played, I have a really hard time concentrating on what I'm praying about and the words of the song going through my mind. That's me. And by the way, there is something great with being still and quiet. It will be awkward. It might even be unsettling to have a couple minutes of quiet together. Might seem a little weird, might seem longer. Is that really been, that's 2 minutes, seemed like a half an hour, okay. But I'll tell you this, if you're communing with your Lord, it won't seem that long. Let me encourage you. Grace and peace to be multiplied. Can I tell you how many times God has used this in my own heart? Man, I need God's grace. Grace, peace, be multiplied. And it always pushes me, drives me back to my Savior. And I found myself desiring more to be with my Lord, to spend more time, to receive from him the grace and peace, that he says this is to be the norm for a believer. This is what an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. Grace and peace multiplied. Maybe you have a specific need. Maybe that grace or peace, maybe it is home. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's at work. Maybe you're struggling with some personal temptation or trial, some struggle. And you're really battling through these things. Address it. If God has helped you from his word, as he's dealt with you specifically, respond specifically in your heart to the Lord. And know this, for every one of us here tonight who knows Christ as our Savior, when we go to his throne as believers, he says that we may receive from him grace. Has it crossed your heart, your mind, that God is ready and waiting? Now he's ready for us to come so that he can give us his grace. He can give us his peace. He doesn't withhold it. He's not a stingy God. He's a generous God who says, yes, I am giving you what I have told you I desire to give you. Humble yourself. Come to me and receive from me my grace and peace. May it be abounding in you. May God be glorified and honored by our response to his word. So our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed together. Let's take the next couple of minutes of quiet before the Lord to reflect on his truth and to respond to his word.